It's an exciting day, and I love that song as a way to transition us into our message for this morning. Is that all over the world, people are gathering and singing, "Hallelujah, He reigns." I don't know if you recognize this, but God is at work not just here, but He is at work all over the world. There are people from every tribe, tongue, and nation singing those words. Now, they will probably be sung in different languages and maybe even at different volumes, and some with a little more movement than you might find in our congregation. But God is praised all over the world because our God is a big God. He's a God that has welcomed all peoples into His family. And this morning, we get to celebrate God demonstrating that right here in our own body as we launch, or as we welcome, a new ministry to Hope Church called the African Bible Fellowship. The African Bible Fellowship is a ministry to African refugees, some of whom have been here for 20 years, some of whom have been here for 20 days. And a while ago, probably 6 months ago, Jay, who's sitting right down here up front, approached me after the service, and he said, I want to talk to you about our group joining your church. I'm like, seriously? Okay, let's meet after church next Sunday, and then we did, and Jay brought in the whole leadership team along with him, and we met in my office, and I came in kind of like, I don't know what to think here, I don't know what's going to happen. And then as I heard Jay and Monica and their team lay out their heart, I was like, whoa, their mission's the same as our mission. The things that they want to see happen amongst their kids are the same things that we want to see happen amongst our kids. We want to see the gospel go forth into the nations, and so do they. And even though we were from very different backgrounds, the unity that we found in God made this potential partnership something that got me excited. And then I went back and I talked to the elders, and I was like, guys, this is an opportunity that we have. Like, really? And then Wayne and Craig came, and we met with the leadership team again, and they had the same experience. Like, wow, this just seems like this just seems so right. And then we came back to the elder board again, and they said, yeah, let's keep exploring this thing. And then we talked to the staff, and they said, yeah, let's keep exploring this thing. This is exciting. And I still remember the words of Craig Miller, and he's like, Clay, I don't think this is an option. I think this is something that God is telling us to do. And I think he's right. And I think he's right. And so Jay and Monica, and you'll see some more of the crew in second service, we want to welcome you all to Hope Church, and we are thrilled. There's plenty of time for more celebration too. In fact, after our Thanksgiving church, we're gonna have a big party that day. We're gonna have a potluck, and we're gonna really all celebrate and eat together. Because you aren't really family until you share a meal, right? And so I'm looking forward to some adventurous eating, and I hope you guys are looking forward to some hot dish. So, because that's all we know how to make. This is going to be a partnership that will glorify our God. Here's how I want to put it. Is God's glory shines bright as he welcomes all people into his family, and we reflect his glory when we do the same. God stands with arms open wide to any and all who would come to him. And his church ought to reflect that same welcome embrace. And I think we feel honored as a church that the African Bible Fellowship has chosen to become a part of us. I mean, there were a lot of other churches they could have picked. There were a lot of other churches, but God brought us together as a symbol of his power, as a symbol that he is King and Lord over all. And we expect there to be challenges along the way as we figure out that, oh, we do things a little bit differently. But I can't stress this enough, that even though we know it's going to be hard at times, there is going to be so much goodness and so much blessing that it is going to outweigh any difficulty that comes into our path. And Satan is going to try to derail it and disrupt it, but God will not let Satan have his way. I want to take us through a few sections of Scripture this morning and highlight some of the ways that this partnership is going to bring glory to God. The first is that God is glorified when compassion is shown to the refugee. It's been part of the heart of God from the very beginning. And the members of the African Bible Fellowship, soon to be part of the Hope family now as well, are fleeing violence that is taking place in their home countries of South Sudan and Ethiopia. It was not a safe place to be, and as they've come here, we have the opportunity to demonstrate the compassion that God has shown all of his people by welcoming them and loving them with open arms. Let's look at some of the places in Scripture where this is reflected in the heart of God. I want to take us to Leviticus chapter 19 to start out with. It says, when a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself. For you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. God takes them back and he says, Israelites, when there are people who have moved into your nation who were not born there, my expectation is that you're not going to make them second class, but that you welcome them into your community, that you welcome them into your culture, and you treat them just like you would anybody else. Remember, Israel, when you guys were foreigners in Egypt, and they didn't treat you very well, did they? This is your opportunity to be different, to reflect the heart of God in your society. Don't be like the Egyptians. Reflect the heart of God by welcoming and loving the people who are living in your nation, and love them just like you love yourself. That's always a heavy command, because I love myself really well. And so love them just like you love yourself. Just like you love your brothers and sisters, your mom and dad, your aunts and uncles, your close friends. And I feel like this is interesting. And God doesn't say this after every one of his commands, yet he says it right here. He says, I am the Lord your God. It's almost as if they needed a reminder. Like, maybe when they heard this command, they were kind of like, I am God. But I'm God. And sometimes with those hard things, we need that reminder. And it's he's God. This is how it's going to be. Like, don't you have those moments as parents when you're like, I'm in charge? Now, your kids still might not listen at that point in time. And sometimes we still don't listen to God. But he's reaffirming that this is how it's going to be. I don't care what you think. This is how it's going to be. And God says that to his people. He says, I don't really care if you're uncomfortable with this. I'm God. This is how it's going to be. My people are a welcoming people. And my kingdom is bigger than one nation. all are welcome to be a part of it. And he echoes this sentiment again in Deuteronomy 10. For the Lord your God is God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and he loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. I could rattle off more and more and more passages of Scripture that say exactly the same thing, and just a little bit different, a different way. But the idea is that to be a part of the people of God means that we're an open family. And that any and all who want to come and be a part of our family are welcome here, and we want to love them, and we want to be loved by them. And when we do it, God is glorified. Just to remind you again, that God is glorified when his compassion is displayed. One more verse in this section, and that's Romans 12:13, which simply says, practice hospitality. We look at that, and we've developed this idea of what hospitality means to us, and that means to have my friends over for dinner, right? Well, behind this word hospitality, what we don't see is that the literal meaning of the word hospitality is to welcome the stranger. What Paul is saying here to the church in Rome is be welcoming to strangers. Welcome people that you don't know into your family. And what I think is a phrase I like to use to talk about biblical hospitality is it means turning strangers into family. And that's one of the things that we're celebrating this morning and that we're going to be doing in the coming years. And not just with the African Bible Fellowship, but with anyone. We want to turn strangers into family. We want to take people who aren't a part of our family and welcome them in and invite them in to do life, to worship God with us. Practice hospitality. Turn strangers into family. But regardless of who the stranger is, we see a vision in our minds. What would it look like for this person to become a full part of our family? And when we do it, God is glorified. God is glorified. I want to go to the second point here. Go to the next slide. That God is glorified when the diversity of heaven is made manifest in the church. You know, even when we pray, like in the Lord's Prayer, like for heaven to come to earth, may it be on earth as it is in heaven. But do you know what it's like in heaven? In heaven, there are people from every tribe, tongue, and nation praising Jesus all together. And when we pray that, well, we're saying not only with some of the broken aspects of our society, but that's one of the broken aspects, is that we tend to be separate. And when we call heaven to earth, and when we demonstrate it here in our body, in the diversity of God's creation, God is glorified. Let's go to Revelation chapter 7. When John gives us this picture, he says, after this, I looked out, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes, and they were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Because God is king over every nation. And one day we are going to get to praise him with everybody in one giant party. But by taking steps to get there right now, we bring God glory. Because we're reaching for that ideal of heaven. And we're not there yet, but we're getting closer. And this is a step in that direction. Of bringing cultures together to praise Jesus as one. And that might mean that sometimes we're going to praise God in some different languages here at Hope. and it's going to be great. And we might learn some new dance moves, too. I need some teaching. It's not going to be pretty. But worship doesn't always look pretty. And, man, it glorifies God when cultures come together and praise Him as one, recognizing that that which unites them is greater than that which divides. And we are united in Christ. We are united now, but it's not fully realized. But one day it will be, so let's keep taking steps to get there in the here and the here and now. One more. Go back. God is glorified when people groups are united by the power of God. Think about the way that the world is that we live in. Where this group is over here, and 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 this group is over here. That's not God's design. God's design isn't for us to be a divided world, but to be a united world. And I feel like our world senses that. I think that as a whole, our culture knows that, and we're moving toward that, and that's a positive thing. And the only problem is that we're trying to do it in our own strength. We're trying to legislate it. We're trying to use human strength to unite different cultures. And human strength is not strong enough to do it. The only thing that is powerful enough to bridge the cultural divides that exist in our world is the gospel. There's no other way that it's going to be accomplished. It is only going to happen because the power of God is at work in the people of God. And one day in heaven, it's going to be there, but let's work for it now. And as it happens, the power of the gospel is displayed as people look on and say, how in the world is that possible? Those people shouldn't be able to get along. Look how different they are. And yet they're family. You might be able to say that about some of your families anyway. But things that don't make sense, things that can't happen without God, can happen with God. And when they do, God is especially glorified. Look at God's heart as reflected in the book of Colossians. Don't lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and the image of its creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. He's saying when it comes to being a part of the family of God, it transcends culture. It transcends ethnic identity. It transcends social class. Is that the power of God is that He brings peoples together who are different. If you can unite Jew and Gentile, you can unite anybody. He says, Jew or Gentile, slave or free, barbarian or Scythian. Anybody that you can think of, those distinctions don't matter as much as the unity that we have in Christ. He's not saying that there's no such thing as culture or that it's a sin to recognize our individual identities. He's saying that when it comes to, when you compare the two, your identity in Christ is so much more about who you are than your any other aspect of the identity that you have. Your identity as an American, your identity as a Minnesotan, all pale in comparison to your identity as being a child of God. And when we elevate that to the prime, the central aspect of who we are in Christ, then those people who share that identity are the ones who we recognize as family. isn't that how it works? The people that we tend to be closest to are the people that share the primary aspects of our identity. In some senses, it's DNA. But in others, it might be a common interest. It's even as silly as sometimes we share an identity with our sports team, and so we tend to be friends with people that have that same identity or a love for a certain band. And yet, those are silly identities compared to Christ. If we can come together around a band or around a team, how much more can we come together around Jesus? I want to close with one more passage. This is such a powerful passage. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in His flesh the law with its commands and regulations. And His purpose was to create in Himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. And through Him, we both have access to the Father. Here he's writing to Jew and Gentile, this huge divide that existed. And he's saying, those of you who thought you were near to God, and those of you who thought you were far from God, it doesn't matter where you were before Christ. What matters where you are after Christ. And that you've all been saved by the same cross. And it's all by the same Spirit that we pray to God together. But the Holy Spirit dwells within each and every one of us, and it's the same Spirit. Different countries don't get different spirits of God. It's the same Spirit living and dwelling in each one of us. And the way that he closes this is so, so powerful. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household. Remember, he's talking to people who already saw themselves as part of the family of God. And he's saying, consequently, none of us, all of us at one time were foreigners and strangers when it came to God. Yet He extended His love to us and welcomed us into His family. We still today continue to be foreigners and strangers living in this world because this world is not our home. Our primary citizenship is in heaven. And so we're living in a foreign land ourselves, a land that doesn't conform to the reign of God. Yet one day it will. Everybody's been welcomed as fellow citizens and become members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. It means the cornerstone is what you use to make sure that all the stones in a building are lined up. And so if we're aligned up with Jesus, and the African Bible Fellowship is lined up with Jesus, do you know what that means? It means that we're all part of the same building. It means we're all a part of the same foundation, which is Christ. And he goes away from the building. He says, in Him, the whole building's joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. He's saying the Holy Spirit not only dwells in us as individuals, but it dwells in us as a church. And when we come together, the Spirit of God is magnified and amplified as we worship Him as God. That's so cool. Our God is so big. He does things that no one else can do, and His glory shines forth when people come together in his name. I want to invite Jay and Monica to come on up here. Because I want you to hear from them, too. It's not just me that's excited. You guys can have a seat back here. Let me start off by just having you introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about who you are and your families.
Well, first of all, I thank God for this day. So my name is Jay Omad. I'm from Southern Sudan. But South Sudan, when it's become a part of a country, but it was once Sudan, but now it become South Sudan. So I'm from South Sudan. Hallelujah. Amen.
Where do you live now?
I live in Cottage Grove. So I'm married with six children. But the older, I got two older, they got married already. One of them finished his master, and the second one is finished 4 years degree. And the third one just dropped off. And the fourth one now is in community college. So I have the man with two of them.
You're almost a grandpa, is that right?
Yeah, almost grandpa. October 28th, I'm going to be a grandpa. Hallelujah. Amen.
How about you?
My name is Monica. This is really great. Thank you very much for the warm welcome for two of you. All I can say is all give thanks to the Lord. My name is Monica Yoko. Married. Three children. I have two grandkids, 8 and 6 years old, and they live in Texas, Houston.
Too far away.
Right, too far.
It's crazy that you chose to come from Africa to Minnesota. The snow just doesn't seem to make it an attractive place.
Most times people ask, why did you choose Minnesota? Of all places, but we get used to it. Thank you.
So before this, you all were doing kind of your church on your own with just people of your own people group, and you decided for some crazy reason that you wanted to become a part of a larger body of Christ. Why would you want to do something like that? Why would you want to become part of a larger body?
Yeah, possible. From back home, I believe Christ in back home. I was a Presbyterian church. So since I came to the United States, we've been looking for Presbyterian church, but around there's many Presbyterian church that we joined, some other churches around. I was in Atlanta, Georgia. There was students there. I gave them facility, like a room, I think they were praying by themselves. As a student, so, and since I moved to Minnesota here, we've been praying in Baptist church. There is some of my people who came here before me. I joined them there, we've been praying with them. After that, this group, they come out of those church, and they start Bible and study just from home to home. And then after that, we connect with organization is called Agora Ministry. They work with the refugee, and they found Atonement Lutheran Church, which is in Bloomington. So they offer us down there to pray there as African, just individual, and we pray just as a group there. And then we've been there for 10 years. We see, you know, spiritually we move in, but there is some activities and there is some things that we see we're not really achieving some of things, so that. And as a group, we come together, we say we've been praying here almost for 10 years, and there is so many things we want to move forward to do work of God. And instead of staying, you know, as this small group, as the Sudanese or Ethiopians, let us engage with our brother and sister in Christ in America. That's why we went through shoes on those one of those churches. So one day I came here before Pastor Harry came here. I visited here, and the video pastor was here. I was sitting in the corner there.
He's still here. He's out there.
Yeah, I was there. He came and he sat by me and asked me, and he said, you know, introduce yourself. And I tell him a lot of things. So after that, he wrote the letters to me, and then he said, you are welcome to your group. You can come and join us if you want to join this church. You know. And after we sat down with the group, so the letter that the pastor sent it from the church here, we go through. And we divided as like two or three to go to visit different churches here in Minnesota. And we went to like four churches that we visit. We see which church that is really welcoming us and overwhelming. As I see today, it's really amazing. Amazing welcome. And after that, we sat down and we come through this. I think my group, they come out. This church, and maybe this is a part of church that God wants us to be with them. So, which is Hope Church. And thank you.
What I want to add to is that the group that is moving here mainly is a one ethnic group. It's called Anak people who are divided between across the border, Ethiopia and South Sudan. They have gone through very terrible things. 2013, there was a genocide where in one night, over 600 men who have some education, up to pastors, teachers, were killed overnight. So that's what brought them out here. And so, we have people who don't know English. So the need for coming together to worship God was that so the people who don't know English can have worship. So we worship, we find that's what the place in the afternoon we rent out of that place, and we're just as an independent group that is worshiping. So one challenge we had was the children. We couldn't teach them enough. Children integrated a lot, while we, the elders, didn't know much English, so we want to worship the way we are. So we had concern, too, that our kids would know Christ as much as we do. So it was this process that Brother Jay has described with prayer. We started looking. And as I was looking, I work as the secretary for this group. So it was a task of, together with them, looking through and bringing this list, and we surveyed and the churches that we wanted to come to. So what led me to this website, too, is this, that one, in 2006, we had a Easter celebration in downtown Minneapolis. We brought many people from this tribe and other Sudanese from other states. One of your members here went and took care of our children. She's called Cynthia. Is she here? Is that? Yeah, so I remember that. So that thing goes for nothing when God does something. We didn't know that was a seed planted that time. So when we look at the website, we say, yeah, didn't Jesus say, go and make disciples in the world? Is the church who are making disciples, you mean? We want our children to become disciples. So when we look at all the churches, we have put number one was Hope Church. We say, okay, what do we do? Do we write to three churches? We had kind of ranked them, Hope Church and another two. And people, we prayed and we agreed, no. Because things don't happen that way. We'll write to number one. And if they say no, then we can go to number two, because
we won't make them share who that was.
Because if two of them say, or three of them say, come, we'd be confused. So that's why we are here, and God let us really we know that is God leading us to you. Thank you.
God is good, and we still feel very humbled that you desire to become a part of this body. And it's a step of faith on your part. It's a step of faith on our part to come together and worship God as one. You might want to know, like, what can I do to help welcome everybody? And one is just say hi to people. Like, introduce yourself. I know in this service it's just Jay and Monica, but in the next service and around, you'll see a lot more people. There's around 50 or so adults and kids that will come through. And so I think it's just a good practice anyway when you don't know somebody, like, introduce yourself and meet them. Invite somebody over to have dinner at your house. And welcome your, bring your family together with their family. Jay and Monica have expressed their desire that we gave them the opportunity. Said, we understand if you want to kind of do community groups on your own, and we want to give you the space to do that. And they said, no, there is only one culture, and it is that of Christ. We want to be together. And so there will be members who, as they become part of our body, they want to do community groups with everybody else, like with all the rest of the family. And so if your community group has some openings for new members, let Dave know, or just straight up invite the people that you meet. That's okay, too, and tell Dave later.
Thank you.
There's also opportunities to invest with the children of the African Bible Fellowship. They're going to have a gathering at 12:30 on Sundays for those who don't know English yet. They still want them to be able to worship God, and they'd love to offer some children's programming. We don't know what that will look like yet, but it'd be great if some members of the larger body wanted to come and alongside and invest in the Anyuan children. And then lastly, Monica mentioned, hey, it'd be great to we want to practice our English. And we do that already through some Somali friends through our SALT ministry. How much better to do it with people who are a part of our own body? And what that can look like is, just, hey, let's go out to coffee and practice certain English words in certain areas, and we'll eventually work to set something up like that. And if that's something that you're interested in, let Dave know so that when we do launch that initiative, we know who you are and that you'd love to be a part of that. And man, God is good, and God is big, and He is on the move, bringing cultures together in His name as one people. I'm going to ask Jay and Monica to pray for us before we sing one last song together, and they might pray in a language you don't understand. You can trust that they're saying good stuff.
One of the things is confirming that really God wanted us to come to this unity. When we met, our team was excited. Say, when we have settled, we want to invite them. Let's have a dinner, some potluck together, and we come for the meeting. And we didn't say this yet, and here is the clay, and excited. Yes, and a Thanksgiving. Let's have a sit down together. So God really wants us to be one.
Let's stand up and pray together.
Amen.
If it's
Amen.
Okay to join hands.
Sure.
Because this is unity. This is oneness that God invites us to. All we can say is thank you. We don't know where yet what God wants to do. But we just say, here we are. Thank you for your welcome. We step in. We say, here we are. And let God do this part. It's another day.
Yes, I will try to pray in Arabic. And the Holy Spirit may guide you, may lead you, and may let you know what I've been saying here in Arabic. You may not hear it just like bumbling things, but it will touch you in your spirit. To together we can make a journey to the kingdom of God by the grace of Jesus Christ. We know that. I really appreciate and I really thank the Church of Hope Church and for that overwhelming welcoming. And may God bless you. And let us pray together. Yahabati Samawi, Abu Rabbana Yesu al-Masih Rabb al-Maj, Ilah al-Qadir ala kullu shay, Ya Ilah Mubarak, Binurja alayka kullu shukru ya Rabbi, Be kullu ma'abataka lazi dumta lana ya Rabbana. Ma'azam ma'abatak, Lanu enta za'atu lana ma'ababitak ya Rabbi, Atama enta, Muta ala kasaba salib, Padit, ومن أجل خطايا كل العالم أنت إله الكل يا ربي أنت إله الخالق السماء والأرض يا ربنا بنعطيك شكر كله في هذه السبعة مبارك يا ربنا شكرا من أجل الكنيسة ده يا ربنا بنشكر من أجل كل الأعضاء الموجودين في الكنيسة يا ربنا بنسأل كل الروح القدس عشان تسير بنا يا ربنا تقودنا يا ربي من أجل مجدك من أجل ملكوتك من أجل يا ربي ملكوتك يا ربنا يا ربي شكرا بارك كل أي واحد فينا هنا صغيرا كبيرا يا ربي باركهم بركة خاصة يا ربي أنا بيشكرك وبيعظم اسم بتاعك لأنه لك كل المجد أنت إله العبد You are yesterday and tomorrow and forever You are beginning You are the end Lord Almighty let the Holy Spirit lead us for your purpose Lord Lord, my prophets, according to your will, Lord, lead us for what you need inside us, Lord, to do for your prophets, Lord, to proclaim the good news. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Jesus, for loving each one of us. Thank you. This opportunity. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for everything we have said here, Lord Jesus. I believe you will do amazing things, Lord, in your Holy Spirit. I believe help us stick in you in unity. Let your love, Lord, let us see your love here before we get to the heaven. Let us see the love of Christ before we get to the heaven. Lord, we will see your love here because the love is the key for the kingdom of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Because you say, who does not love, he is not belong to God. God is love. Thank you, Lord Almighty. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. We give you thank you. For all this congregation, for their love to our group, Lord. We are one in you. We are one, one baptized, one Lord, one Christ. There is no any other way, Lord, except by you. Because you say, there is no one can get to the heaven except by Jesus Christ. He's the one, he's the Lamb who died for all the nation. For all the people over the world. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Almighty. As we pray, we give you.